Hey, this is Threat from NIP, and you're listening to TCR.
Yes, 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 you are listening to TCR, also known as The Center Ring, your favorite esports radio show for tonight, anyways. Typically your favorite esports podcast. We are coming to you live, not pre-recorded this time.
Almost got you on that one.
It's weird. It's messing up my flow. Of course, this is The Center Ring. We are an esports show. We talk exclusively all esports all the time, which kind of is like what The Ticket does, you know, with your traditional sports. I am one of your hosts. My name is Tim Krajewski, Tim K, Captain Trips, your MC of Summer Bash. My co-pilot, my first mate, my rock, Brandon Harrison. Brandon, how are you doing today?
What's going on, man? It's pretty good. A little nervous, not going to lie. First time on the radio,
you know. Well, you know, it's just like any other show. Just imagine there's still zero people listening to us like every other time we do the show, and it's
easy.
Just like normal. You won't miss a beat, I promise you. Well, we have a really good show for you, I think. I know I say this every episode. For those of you who always listen, I say this, I think, every episode, but this one, I think I actually mean it. This is the best episode ever of all time that we've ever done on the show. Of course, this entire two-hour block that The Ticket blessed us with will be filled of ESL 1 Cologne major preview talk, because there's so much to talk about. You can't possibly fit it into one hour little show that we do on the norm. So I went up to Kat's office. I kicked the door down. It's like, you listen here, Kat. I need this 2 hours. And he was like, I was about to come to you. I was like, well, okay, let's do this.
I talked to him before the show. That's exactly what he said.
That's exactly how it went down. He thanked me for doing the show. Boosting tickets. The stock is rising. People are like, Brexit, what? What? No, we do. We have an awesome show for you. It is 2 hours. We are 7 to 9 tonight. Just going over here. Let's see. We will end the show with some Twitter questions. So, of course, hit us up on the Twitter. You can follow the show, because every show has to have their own Twitter nowadays. So we do, of course. That is at The Center Ring on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom. Brandon, you are
at Brand Any New. That's ININEW.
So there you go. I don't know what we can bring to the table on Twitter that no one else can, but hey, isn't that kind of the point of it? So shoot us any questions that you have throughout the show. The last segment will be dedicated to you, the P1, talking some esports, answering any questions, except for, why is it called esports?
We don't answer that anymore.
That one's shoved under.
It just is.
Just nobody cares file, all right? That's why do we call football football and soccer soccer. Just no one cares at this point. It is what it is. It's competitive gaming, for those of you who don't know. It's professional gaming. It's where the best go to play your beloved games, anywhere from, what, League of Legends, Dota 2. We're talking Counter-Strike today. CSGO in particular, for those who want to be nitpicky about it. And that's going to be in the last segment. So if you have any questions, send us that. We're going to go, each segment will be dedicated to its own group. So we're going to go from D, C, B to A. We're going to leave no stone unturned. We're going to ask the hard-hitting questions. You know, is Group A really that relevant? We're going to discuss that here next segment, okay? But for now, I want to kind of break down to see, you know, just talk about what is ESL 1 Cologne, right? It's a major, and in normal sports, in traditional sports, people have that idea of, okay, a major must be pretty important, right? That's kind of universal across anything. So it's no different in esports. Typically, you have four of them a year. CSGO is starting to adopt that had a concrete for a year, make it a big deal.
Yeah, started back in 2014.
ESL, this one coming up, it's next week, by the way. ESL 1 Cologne is next week, July 5th through July 10th. So that's 5 days of intense action. It is the ninth one. It's the ninth major. So I read.
That's right. So it was 2014 it started. There's four big ones every year, and they're sponsored by, they're the only Counter-Strike tournament sponsored by the developer of the game, Valve. Valve puts a lot more money in for the prize pool, which, as you know, this year was the first year that they decided to make these. Each of these tournaments are worth $1 million apiece. So there is a guaranteed $4 million up for grab every year for these Counter-Strike teams playing the video games. The first one this year in USA, first one ever in USA, was up in Columbus at Nationwide Arena, where the, I believe it's Nationwide Arena, where the Columbus Blue Jackets play. We actually attended that event, and they sold it out. I think it was like 13,000 tickets sold?
It was essentially...
It's like two-thirds of the arena was filled.
Take the American Airlines Center, cut about half of it away, because they do it hot dog style. So cut it hot dog style, make it long, and that's typically how they do these things. They take up about half a real sporting arena, so it's a big deal. I mean, this is big. Like you said, we went to Columbus. It was the first real major that we went to. If you grow up playing video games, even in the competitive sense, you always go to these LAN parties and everything. But this one's different because... it's not a LAN party. Yeah, you're literally going to watch them.
That's an important thing to kind of talk about is when people think about playing video games in the professional sense or playing video games, and just in general, they think of just people lined up, just computer after computer, monitor after monitor, just hundreds of people that don't bathe, that just hang out, don't really accomplish anything. That's not what these majors are. These are full-on events with these huge production crews. Being broadcast live on the internet, now being broadcast live on TBS with their new tournament system going on. I mean, these are huge events now. They're huge productions, and you're literally there to just watch the top pro teams play.
And it's constantly kind of like a rotating door. So, like, for instance, okay, because when we break down the groups, we're going to bring this up. We're going to use some terminology, and I'm sorry if it gives some of you who knows this tired head, but it needs to be brought up. So, say MLG major in Columbus, okay, back in towards the end of March, if you made it to the actual playoff stage, if you made it out of groups, you are then considered legend status. When you are legend status, then you basically get the free invite to the next major, okay? So eight out of the 16 teams that are going to be in Cologne, Germany, were basically the top eight teams from the tournament in March. The other eight had to go through some form of qualification rounds and jump through hoops and go through the bit there. So that's something important to bring up to where you'll see new teams each time. I'd say, what would you say? I'm sure there's an actual stat out there, but I'd say
two to three new teams every tournament. And it's important to note that the teams that finish in the bottom eight of every major automatically get an invite to the final qualifier for the next one. So, I mean, even just attending, you still get more of a bump to qualify for the next one. But yeah, you probably get about two or three new teams every single time.
And this is the second one so far this year where Valve is putting up $1 million for the prize pool. Okay. So that means first place gets $500,000, and that's split normally. I don't know how, I'm sure every team does it different. But you have five guys playing, you throw in a coach, and then some cut has to go to the organization. But it's $5,000 flat that goes to the team there. Second place gets $150,000. Third and fourth gets $70,000. Everything else gets $35,000. Now here's my beef with this, all right? Is Valve runs this and Dota 2. Arguably two of the biggest esports out there.
Right.
We're making a big deal that this is $1 million tournament, right? But compared to Dota, I mean, $1 million is nothing. Like, you have the TI coming up here for Dota, and I haven't checked. Have you checked the numbers on what that's...
I haven't seen it since the last time we talked about it.
Which was like $11.9 million so far. The reason that is, though, is because Dota is crowdfunded. So it's basically the fans putting in money so the winners can get it. Like, think of, like, it would almost be like in the Super Bowl, you could give money, and then that is how the players get their money, is like, by the fans donating them money.
Well, yeah, like, if you bought a program when you walked in the door, part of the money that went to that program now goes to the teams that win.
Instantly to the prize pool.
Right.
It's not like jumping through some tubes and then, like, all right, trickles down, like, parking lot money trickles back down to the team, which they're... No. This is to a prize pool that's just... Think of it in the center of the poker table, and these players are getting it. Last year's in a Dota Internet or IT or TI, whatever, that got around to $18 million. I don't remember the exact number.
Yeah, $18 million prize pool. So, I mean, the teams that won that were taking home about $9 million.
Why don't they do this for Counter-Strike?
I don't want to get too much into the nitty-gritty. The difference in the economics, Dota does not have stickers. So stickers are basically an in-game item that you can purchase, and then... Whichever sticker you purchase immediately goes to that team. So that team doesn't even have to win anything to get some of that crowdfunded money. They automatically get the sticker money. That's not something you see in Dota. So that's kind of where a little bit of the difference in economic goes. And that
but even then,
goes
though,
to the players.
Sticker
so.
Money, that's what?
It's not
99
anywhere.
Cents. It's literally 99 cents for a sticker.
And I think they get like 55 or 60 cents of the sticker.
And it's not even that well known on how much money they're making from the stickers. It's just
right.
A percentage goes to the teams. I mean, it can't get anywhere close to how a crowdfunded...
Not anywhere near the $18 million that the
a crowdfunded thing. And think of like the hype that goes around. Now, keep in mind, Dota has one crowdfunded tournament a year. All right. And that's the TI. I'm not saying every major, because they still have four majors just like CSGO, and all of them have a set amount of money for paying out. So it's just one tournament that's crowdfunded. But couldn't CSGO do something similar? Theoretically, any esport could do something similar, but you would think operating by the same company as Valve.
They could.
They would.
I mean, the majors are a recent introduction to Dota 2 because people were complaining about no teams really cared up until the international. And the qualifiers were all sorts of different. So the Dota 2 majors are a new kind of phenomenon to try and make people pay attention to the lesser tournaments. I think Counter-Strike just has too many already that if you try to introduce something like that, I mean, I guess you could crowdfund the current majors, but there's no way you could do an international style competition with the volume of games that these people are playing every year.
Games as in?
How many tournaments that are going on.
Okay.
Like, these teams are participating in, you know, a tournament every other weekend.
Right, but partially that, though, I mean, that's not anybody's fault other than the fact that everybody wants a piece of the pie when it comes
to... Yeah, definitely.
I mean, that's why you have ESL, you have FaceIt with ECS, you now have E-League, which is actually on TV for Turner Broadcast. I mean, you have all these little ones.
SIVO.
SIVO, iBuyPower does something here and there.
Yep.
So everybody wants to be the league. But what's stopping Valve, though? I mean, then that's why they can do it with Dota, is because Valve is the one who ultimately has that decision to make it crowdfunded.
That's true.
I feel like if any other organization, as in, like, tournament runner, tried to do a crowdfunded source, Valve would immediately put a stop hold on it and be like, no.
I don't think there's a way you could, because most of the crowdfunding stuff comes through in-game purchases for Dota. I mean, I guess you could sell something outside of it and then put that money towards the prize pool. But I don't think Valve would say no. Valve is so notoriously hands-off with Counter-Strike. I don't know if they are afraid to become Riot Games.
Until it comes to banning players.
Until it becomes the match fixing. Then they're very hands-on.
Until it comes to lifetime bans. And then they'll let you know what they think.
I don't know. I like the current system because I think it helps help spread the money out to teams that have worked hard to qualify for it. I mean, if you're getting $30,000 just for basically qualifying for the tournament out of groups, any kind of extra sticker money and stuff like that, I think goes a long way to making this a sustainable kind of career for the players. Because right now, it's still very much a hit-or-miss kind of job. I mean, people are still going to look at you like you're crazy if you say you want to become a professional gamer.
No, yeah, it's, you know, telling family and friends that I was going to do this tonight on the ticket, you kind of brushed over, like, oh, so yeah, I'm doing a show on the ticket, just 7 to 9, don't ask what it is. And then they'll ask, and then you have to say, well, it's an esports show. And then they're like, esports? What's that? So it's a rough life I live. Looking here, though, before we go to break, I did want to touch on, because I think just recently the broadcasting talent for ESL 1 Cologne was announced. Some things that stand out, okay? You have your usual stand-ins. Moses, YNK is going to be on the desk, all right? You have Red Eye, who's going to host. You got Machine.
That's Bay.
Who's life. I love Machine. I did meet him at DreamHack Austin. And he said he loved me. And I felt like that was a connection. I felt like we shared a moment.
That was a real life thing.
That we'll have forever. So Machine's going to be on the host. That's awesome. Because he normally doesn't do majors. He normally does the smaller ones.
Yep.
And then, I don't know how I feel about it, but ESL has Thorn back on the desk. He's an analyst again. For the longest time, Thorn was never invited to ESL events for some personal thing.
No, Thorin managed to offend the entire country of Poland in about 3 minutes. Like, just talking trash to Poland.
And then from there...
And then ESL was like, you can't do this one anymore. Okay. Yeah, you can't do this anymore.
So he was on a soft probation.
Yeah.
All right, so now he's back, though, and that actually was kind of big news that Thorin is back. Richard Lewis is not in because he's busy doing E-League. So we are stuck with just Thorin. I don't know. Say what you want about Thorin. He knows his stuff.
Just he's very smart.
Wish he would say it a little different. Maybe say it in a way that doesn't make me want to drive into oncoming traffic sometimes. But he's good nonetheless. And then, of course, the commentators are your usual. Anders Semler pair. You have the Henry G and Sadakis pair. DDK and James Bardoff. And then Pansy and Blue, which is pretty much an ESL staple.
Right. Because
they have exclusives for ESL. So that one will be good nonetheless. Anyways, that's kind of the runabout of just what this major is. It is a big deal, all right? So if you haven't ever watched esports, if you're kind of on the fringe of it, wondering if it is a legit thing, all right? It's not just people sitting on their couches. It's not your son playing Call of Duty, all right? This is almost like to the equivalent of, like, if you played beer league hockey and all your friends thought when you're like, I'm going to go play hockey, they thought that you were just going to go play like NHL. Like, oh, I'm going to do the Stars game. Oh, are you playing? No. No one ever
That's
thinks that.
That's my favorite question.
No one ever thinks that when I'm going to a Stars game, I'm playing. Yet when I say I'm going to, you know, Columbus to go watch the Counter-Strike major, they go, oh, are you playing in that video game? Are you going to play your video games?
Why don't you go play?
Yeah, you play
that's
a lot.
Not how,
why don't
that's
you?
Not how this
no,
works.
That's not. This is completely different level of skill. So I encourage everyone to go watch it. That's July 5th through the 10th. Now that you're familiar with the hosts, with what the major is, kind of how it's set up, let's dive in to the teams of that major. All right. Next segment. Here on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket, we will be diving in to Group A. 7:32 here on Sports Radio, The Ticket. We are the center ring, or more importantly to you, just another weeknight F around show. Today we are talking CSGO Major, the ESL 1 Cologne coming up next week. And we are jumping down from group to group to group, leaving no stone unturned. Kind of just, you know, giving our little speech on it, giving it the rundown. You can follow the show on Twitter, at The Center Ring. Let us know what you think. Ask any questions. They will be answered in the last segment of the night. But for now, let's jump into Group A, where, you know, politely I gave it the label in the pre-show meeting, the least interesting group of the major.
It's a good thing we're starting with this group, because, I mean, it is... All right, it's bad. There's no other way to describe it.
We just got
to
get it out of the way, right? It's not bad. Let's be nice, all right? It's not that it's a bad group. It's just there's not nearly as many... Like, you look at Group C, B, and D, all of them have, like, really cool storylines and controversy going on, and Group A is just, you know... They're just there. they're just there for the major. I don't think any of them are worthy of writing home about. But that is, you have Astralis, okay? They are the player-owned organization. You have CLG, the stepchild of North American Counter-Strike. Both of those were those legend teams that I was referencing in the opening segment. So both of those were able to make it to the playoffs in Columbus. So they instantly invited, which is probably good for CLG, because if they weren't already invited, they probably would not have made it. And then you have Gambit Gaming and Team Dignitas. Those both qualified through some form of tournament on the way up. And those are your teams for Group A. What else? Are you ready to go to break? That's Group A.
I mean, there's a couple storylines. I mean, if you look specifically at Gambit, they actually qualified by defeating Optic, Envious, and G2, who we'll go over a little bit later. But all three of those teams are teams that you look at and you think, wow, these guys are actually, you know, Envious won the last major of 2015. G2 just recently won ECS Finals Season 1. Optic is somehow considered, I'm sure we'll go into it later, somehow considered the top North American team at the moment.
Questionable.
And Gambit beat all three of those teams to qualify for this tournament. They're lucky they got dropped into Group A because it's probably their best opportunity to get out of the group stage and get to the bracket play.
Gambit's not well known as far as your everyday CS team. Obviously, they're more of part of the CIS group. You know, they're Russian.
Russian, yeah.
They're over there, so we don't see them nearly as often in these every weekend tournaments. They seem to always pop up during majors because they were there for Columbus.
Yep.
They just didn't make it out of group stage, right? So you never saw them in the big house. They were just in the little house during group stage. So a lot of people aren't familiar with Gambit Gaming as you will see with the other teams. Like, even CLG is a more household name than Gambit Gaming, even though where it stands today, I think Gambit Gaming is going to make it out of this group with...
That's such a criticism of the group, though, not necessarily a praising of Gambit's ability.
So I watched them play today in E-League. They were playing Virtus Pro and Complexity. Hooch, man, I don't follow Gambit very hard either, but Hooch is pretty good. He's been around for a while, and I think he's going to be the deciding factor. He's the team captain. I think he's going to be the deciding factor that gets them out of groups. But it's like you said, it's not so much that Gambit Gaming is all of a sudden going to play out of their minds. It's more so Team Dignitas is playing with not their full roster because Kirby has to sit out because he qualified there. So you have that. Oh, no, excuse me. It's Astralis who isn't playing with their full roster.
Right, Astralis, Kirby's playing, cannot play with Astralis.
Yes, Kirby can't play with Astralis, because that was a roster move that happened prior.
Right, Cajun B.
Yeah, Cajun B went from Astralis, they were traded from Astralis to Team Dignitas a couple weeks ago, and with the funky way the rulings work on this, if you were a qualified team, or even played in a qualifier, you cannot play for another team in that same major. So because Kirby played for Team Dignitas at the time of them qualifying, he cannot play for Astralis. Therefore, Astralis had to go get Glaive and to replace him just for the major.
Interesting fact. Because Astralis was invited, like you said, Cajun B, who got traded to Dignitas, can play for Dignitas.
Because, though, and I guess that's the way they're... Don't try to look up this rule on the internet. It doesn't exist anywhere on the internet, trust me. And if you do, you have magic, and tweet me the rule. So I know the official ruling on it. But I think what it is like, if you qualify, you have to play with that team, or the person just can't play in general. But if you were invited, like legend status is, technically they did not qualify. They just get an automatic invite.
Right.
And that's why those players can play for other teams, because they technically didn't qualify, quote unquote.
Which, I mean, that's going to be the first matchup, too. Astralis versus Dignitas is going to be the first matchup for that group. The other interesting storyline, I think, for that one is the fact that CLG has a new roster, and they've played zero games with it heading into this major. Zero games with this new roster, and they're going into the big tournament.
This prior to the show, because I cannot wrap my brain around this, that CLG made a roster move, what, June 13th? That's when they ended up trading JDM for Kusta with Team Liquid, which that was a forced trade if I've ever seen one. There's no way anyone would do that in their right mind. But nonetheless, it happened. So now Kusta can play for them because he was on Liquid during the last major, so no complications there. So their roster now that CLG is playing with at the major is... It's, Cutler, it's Hazed, Taric, Kusta, okay? And that's going to be... Oh, and then and PETA. They're all playing at the major. Yet, since May or June 13th, they haven't played a single match with this roster. What have they been doing?
Well, that's a curious thing, is that everybody else has been playing games. Maybe they are actually taking the time to practice. That's something that doesn't happen very often in Counter-Strike, but maybe they've taken the time to introduce into the team and learn some strats with each other. And
I mean, there could be unofficial scrims.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, and I'm sure, like, pro teams always scrim with each other and practice with each other. They have boot camps. You know, Liquid started their boot camp. Navi started their boot camp this week. So all these teams are starting to wind down from regular tournament play to prep for this major. But it's just weird to me that they have no official matches since June 13th, and they're going to go into this major fresh.
Maybe they're hoping for like the unexpected, like, underdog story, like nobody's seen them play together.
Well, and there's something to that. Right?
Yeah, there is. Also, I mean, if they play differently, but I don't imagine you're going to add a player with 2 weeks till a major and then expect it to turn out entirely different. I mean, everybody's seen Kusta play, so.
And yeah, but not. Very inconsistent. You know, it's completely different, though, on new teams, because this is also, and we forgot to bring this up in the opening segment, this is the first major with new Nuke in the rotation.
Right.
So new Nuke is already kind of shaky on the sense of people haven't really found the meta for it. It's still very CT-sided to the point where you can, for better or for worse, I know there's mixed opinions on heavily sided maps, to where if you don't win at least, you know,
over half of the round, gotta win half the round.
Like with Nuke, and you're playing T-side, if you're on the terrorist side and you end up winning 5 games, typically then you're going to win that map.
Right.
Unless you're Virtus Pro today and drop it to Gambit. But we'll talk about Virtus Pro come their time in today. I think they're in Group C.
C, yep.
Because that's a whole nother mess we need to discuss as Virtus Pro. But nonetheless, my point is, if CLG with their new roster, a relatively unknown style of play, yeah, the players are familiar, but their play is going to be unfamiliar. If they are managing to pick Nuke, where maybe they've been practicing with, right? I think right now that would be an advantage to teams like them. If an underdog practices on a new map, that's going to be their best advantage to try and beat these teams like Astralis or Fnatic, or these teams that basically are comfortable on every map.
Yeah, but all teams have maps they prefer. I don't think you're going to see a lot of teams. I mean, the pick rates for some of these teams that pick certain maps because they have great win rates on them are just unbelievably high. Like, they will do everything in their power to pick it. It's only every once in a while you see teams try to ban maps that both teams are good at, because it's better to play on a map that you're good at than hoping your opponent sucks more than you at a different one. So I don't think you're going to see Nuke very often, unless it happens to come up in the random, because that's the way it normally works, is you get a ban, and then the last section is randomized of the last like couple maps, so...
That's my one thing, though, that I think CLG could go is use the unknown advantage of their team and possibly try to rotate their picks to keep Nuke in the rotation. And that would be their one chance of doing that. Because Nuke is still a crazy CT-sided map, even through their changes and everything.
Right.
CT is still going to dominate that. So as far as then, I mean, I feel like we know the answers. But your predictions for Group A?
I'm going with Astralis and Gambit Gaming, actually. I was kind of laughing at myself when I went through because I was like, Gambit doesn't have a chance. And then I sat there and I was like, well, they might actually have the best chance to get out of this group.
No, and I agree. I mean, I said it before. I think Gambit Gaming is... I get that technically they weren't legend status with the last major, but, you know, a lot has changed within 3 months. And after watching them today at E-League...
They're taking down top teams, yeah.
I'm convinced with Gambit Gaming that they have the skills to make it to the playoffs in this one. I don't think CLG is going to make it far. The fact that they traded their strongest player in JDM for Kusta, which I know Kusta has his fan group.
Kusta's a roller coaster.
A lot of people, though, they still have their hopes for Kusta, like, because he is young, and they say that he has that up-and-coming talent, but when is that going to show? And do organizations have the time or patience to wait for that? Is he going to have to go and play for a lower organization to let that grow?
Yeah, in my opinion, he's a worse version of Simple. He has games that he dominates, and then the next game he is the worst player on the team. But it's so frequent that he flips between those two things. CLG's not going to be able to ride it out anymore.
No, I don't see how getting rid of JDM and adding Kusta is going to help anything there. And I think Astralis...
That's like a foregone conclusion.
I mean, yeah. Yes, Astralis has been playing a little shaky, you know, albeit they haven't been playing that well. Cloud9, they lost a best of three to Cloud9 in their last match at ECS. And even then, they were placed relatively low in that league. I think Astralis is one of those teams that do well at majors, though. Because you also have to take this with a grain of salt, and this is kind of going on forward. The top-tier teams typically play worse than the tournaments prior leading up to a major. So that's one thing. When we're discussing this, and this won't be the last time I bring it up, top teams tend to play worse before a major. For various reasons, which we will get into coming up on our next segment here on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. We are... The Center Ring. No, you are not on the wrong radio station. We are talking esports on The Ticket. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Ask us your questions, any of the above. When we come back, we're going to break down Group B for the ESL 1 Cologne Major. Again, this is Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. Welcome back to The Center Ring, TCR, esports extraordinaires. Coming up here at 8:10-ish, we will be breaking down Group C, which involves Team Liquid, which, oh, we could do a whole two-hour show on just Team Liquid. But somehow we're going to just slam that into one segment and talk about three other teams. For now, though, we are going to talk about Group B for the ESL 1 Cologne CSGO Major coming up next week, July 5th. Check it out. Let us know what you think of the show also on Twitter at The Center Ring. Can't pimp that up enough. I want 100 followers. I'm just going to come on and say it. I want to just whore myself out for 100 followers. How hard can that be, right? Setting the bar low. Looking here, though, at Group B, we start getting into more of the oomph at the major when you start looking at kind of the skill cap for these teams. The legend teams in this group consist of Na'Vi and Ninjas in Pajamas, commonly known as NiP. Na'Vi has been, how do I say, the bridesmaid? What's the saying? Always a bridesmaid, never the bride?
That's true.
That's Na'Vi to me. Okay, they're really good at getting second place.
Last two majors, second place.
Really good at getting second place. It's just the first place that's eluding them. Doesn't take away, though, their skill to me at all. But then looking at the teams that were able to qualify, you have Optic Gaming, one of three North American teams here. CLG, Optic Gaming, and Team Liquid. Those are going to be, if you're looking to be a homer.
That's the USA teams. Yes, that's the ones you want to chant for.
North American, if you're looking to be a homer, those are the teams that you need to follow. Optic Gaming is technically Canadian, but they do have an American on the team. But it's North America. That's how CSGO
NA,
does
yeah.
it. It's NA, whatever. And, of course, you have the North American staple here, Cloud9. Oh, wait.
Hold on a second.
You don't have Cloud9.
I was like, I'm checking my notes. I don't see them in any of the groups.
I don't see anything. Man, did they screw this up? No, that's right. Cloud9 did not qualify. My team. The team that is supposed to carry North America Counter-Strike to the promised land can't qualify for the major. To be fair, though,
half that team's gone.
And I know they're not in this major, so I don't want to talk about too much about Cloud9, but congratulations for them. This will be the first major where they won't fail to make it out of groups.
That's brutal.
So, look.
Congratulations, you're not going to fail in groups because you failed earlier.
Glass half full kind of guy. That's how I am. That's how I am. So, looking here, though, at Group B. Again, we discuss here. Na'Vi, they always get second place, but they could easily, you know, trump any team that's going out there. I actually think, if I looked correctly, I think Na'Vi is the second oldest team as far as terms of being together. Like, the same roster.
Yeah, there were three teams that came to mind when because I thought of the same thing with another team, and I think you're right. I think Na'Vi is the second longest tenured roster, full roster.
Yeah, so they've been around the block a few times there. You have Zeus, Seized, which is their in-game leader, captain there. You have Guardian, which, to me, Guardian is hands-down top sniper. I know there's the debate between him and Fallen.
The only reason Fallen gets the nod, but
Fallen gets the nod for his in-game leadership,
yeah,
though.
I think Guardian is, like, skill-wise, best player, I would venture to say, in the world, like, position notwithstanding.
Whoa.
Guardian is really good.
And then, of course, you have Edward, the man of no emotions. He will stare into your soul and make you question existence. And then you have Flamey, which the reason I walked down those rosters is to get to Flamey, because apparently he tweeted out today that he's not at their boot camp because of personal illness, and he hopes to be better for the major.
Actually, a lot of people jumped on Twitter when that came out and were like, What's wrong? What's happening? Is he hurt? Is it wrist, arm, hand? Which, you laugh. You all laughed. I know every single person listening to the ticket right now just chuckled. Injuries in esports do happen. You can get hurt, even sitting at a computer.
You know, sometimes you just gotta stretch.
But no, they came out. He's just, I think he's sick.
Just some
couldn't
flu,
participate.
Just some bug.
Yeah.
So why, yeah, like people
and
jumped on
he
it.
He said
made
he
a
should be
deal.
Fine before
be
the
back.
Actual major starts.
Even
so.
If he is sick, he's going to play.
Like, yeah, because it's not like you're trying to run faster than anyone.
No, and who,
like that,
I mean,
so.
Yeah, their coach Sterics could play for him. Like, he filled in, he did fill in for Guardian for a little bit
and they
there.
Did well. Yeah, they
yeah,
did
they
well.
Did fine. So, I mean, they do have that option, which is a good thing to where if Flamey all of a sudden can't show up, they do have the option of their coach filling in. But I mean, come on, I don't think that illness is going to be an issue at all. Looking here, though, then you have Nip, who historically, for the most part, has been really, really successful. I know there towards the beginning of 2016 they were having a really off year, to the point where you, my friend, sitting across the table from me right now, what were the words that you uttered?
I actually wrote an entire article about how they were going to blow that entire roster
blow
up.
Blow the team up.
I thought there was going to be one player, Get Right, that managed to stay on that team. And I was incredibly wrong.
They
got rid of one player.
You couldn't be further from the truth.
I'm
going to
admit it. I'll admit it right now.
So stupid.
They changed the roster.
This is why I'm on mic one. And you're on mic two. No, they did. They had a really bad start. They had a bad finish and start to 2016, bad finish for 2015. But they just needed some, you know, a little bit of Nip magic in there. And they bounced back. They won first. at DreamHack Malmo. They won first at the ESL Pro League Season 3 for Europe. Not the league, but they finished first in the Europe division, which is impressive still. I'm not going to say that's not impressive. And then they've, you know, kind of flamed out since then. But
I mean, they finished in the quarter, got eliminated in the quarterfinals in Columbus for the last CSGO major. That gentleman you heard at the very beginning of the show today, Threat, is actually their coach who was standing in during that major. So they were kind of playing at a disadvantage, waiting on a new player to get a visa.
Yeah, they didn't have Pith, who at the time was going to be the replacement for Alubot, but
I mean they have gone 48-29 over the last 3 months since adding Pith, so they're doing really well with him, and I think him being able to have played at the major would have made a difference. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do it this one. I think they've changed their play style a lot and become a lot more structured than what they used to be, where they kind of just like destroyed everybody with skill.
It's something people don't give Ninjas credit for, is everybody but Threat and Pith on that team, Forest, Getright, Freiburg, Exist, they've been on that team since the beginning in 2012. So right. Like you talk about, like you just mentioned it, them changing their play style. That's not the easiest thing. Like normally teams like blow up.
Yeah,
you know, how you were saying.
A roster will blow up before they change.
Which is why at the start of 2016, when you weren't the only ones predicting that they were going to make roster moves, seemed that insane of a theory. Because for whatever reason in esports, and CSGO in particular, I feel, when things aren't working out, teams do not try to fight through it. They immediately will look for a trade or point the finger at one person to all of a sudden, hey, I know this is a five-man roster, but you are the reason that we are doing bad.
We've got an awesome example of that in the next group that we're going to go over.
And to Ninja's credit, and most of EU's credit, they tend to hang on to their rosters longer and decide to fight through, you know, up and downs and things like that. So, yes, they've been doing really well since MLG when they didn't even have their full roster. So I think they will bode well. In fact, 2 weeks ago now, when me and Cray Trey did our Blow the Cartridge and I did my esports segment, someone asked who I thought would win the major. And my prediction at the time was Ninjas in Pajamas. I might backtrack just a little bit.
That was on the air.
Let's just wipe that. All right, no one listened to that one either. Because I do want to backtrack, because over the last 10 games, NIP has been struggling, okay, against pretty good teams. However, they did lose at the DreamHack Zowie Open to Immortals, formerly known as Tempo Storm. They lost a best of three to them, which is kind of meh. But then they went to lose on to Luminosity, and then at the time I thought was bad, they lost in the ECS finals to G2, which comes to find out isn't that much of a... That's nothing to be upset about. Apparently, G2 all of a sudden decided to play Counter-Strike. So we'll talk about that later on. But anyways, real quick, your predictions for Group B.
I actually have Group B coming out of there as Na'Vi. Obviously, they have the deepest map pool of that group. I would say the second deepest map pool of the entire tournament. And then I was going to go with NIP. I like it. I like the Cinderella story coming back from the jaws of defeat and blowing up their roster at the end of last year to playing great and starting to get back to form.
Yeah, I think as far as Optic Gaming goes, they've been playing really well as of late. In fact, I really like Optic Gaming in the sense of being NA's new hopes and dreams as far as growing up. It seems like they have the same... they remind me of almost a little bit of Tempo Storm. Like when Tempo Storm started out, they looked good against the really top tier teams and could beat the lower tier teams without
too much work.
Yeah, like you really didn't fear that they were going to struggle with the lower tier teams. That being said, I don't think they're going to make it out of the group. Flip side, I think they have about as good a chance of making it out of the groups as we do getting an interview with their co-owner who stood me up. But I'm not salty about it. We'll move on.
Yeah.
We'll move on. We won't bring that up again. But he did stand me up. Said he would come on the show, and then he didn't. But we're past it. I digress. So obviously, yeah, Na'Vi is going to win it, and I think NiP will make it out of the group as well. I think that's a pretty straightforward. It's going to be a fun group because Optic Gaming could upset,
potential for upset.
Potential upsets everywhere. Much like this show, it will be an upset. Speaking of upsets, though, this segment is over as far as we are concerned. Next segment, we are going to discuss a little bit of Group C, a little bit of Team Liquid drama, the Frankenstein roster. What does it all mean for you? What does it mean for NA? We'll discuss that next on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. And this show is The Center Ring, breaking down all the action, everything you need to know for the upcoming ESL 1 Cologne CSGO Major. We just finished up Group B. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 5 minutes
short
ago.
One, yeah.
Can't remember that one. That was forever ago. We just finished up breaking down Group B. We are going to jump into Group C. If you like what you hear, let us know on the Twitter sphere, at The Center Ring. Follow the show along there. We also have a fancy website, tcr.gg, because, you know, I don't know. Go there. You can see all of our episodes, YouTube, Twitch, when we get around to doing something on Twitch. Like,
unfortunately, our mugs are right there on the front page, too.
I don't know. So do that if you want, if you have some time to kill. I encourage you to follow all of our social media things. Looking here, though, going forward to Group C of the ESL 1 Cologne Major, this is the group that interests me, maybe not the most as far as skill-wise, but story-wise, okay? This group includes the two legend status, Team Liquid and Virtus Pro. The invited teams, or I'm sorry, the qualifying teams are Mouse Sports and Envious. Okay, those are some big hitters in this group, right? Lots of well-known teams here. Team Liquid is the one that we mentioned previously. That's going to be one of your USA teams, so if you wanted to root for them, there you go. Fair warning, though. If you are going to jump on the Team Liquid bandwagon for this tournament, don't get too attached to it because the roster is going to change immediately after. So don't, you know, that simple guy, don't get too attached to him because he's going to go away after the major. It's already been decided that this is just a fill-in for him. So don't get too attached. But to break down the backstory to that, why don't you tell us? Because I know you are the Liquid fanboy.
I jumped on Team Liquid's bandwagon back when I have loved that team. I bought their t-shirt, which is a huge deal in esports because half the teams don't even have t-shirts.
I mean, that's buying a ring.
This team has gone through, what do we've got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 8 roster changes in the last 3 months since February 17th.
Including coaches, yeah.
They have gone from players, coaches, to stand-ins, to kicking people off, to them coming back as stand-ins, all in the span of 3 months to hopefully make the best NA roster that they can make. And this has gotten this, and the thing that bothers me the most about it is it's now a trend that they are kicking players off or players are leaving the team because of internal issues. I will say every single one of these comes down to one of the team members has a problem with somebody else on the team, and then they get asked to come play again because the team cannot figure out how to manage the roster before a player leaves.
So this is one thing, though, and you're hinting at Hiko because you don't like Hiko.
I can't stand the way that guy does interviews. I as somebody that talks about it, like you've said 100 times, as somebody that talks about it, it is fantastic. Because he gives us liners left and right.
For somebody who does a talk show on esports, it's amazing. If I was his teammates, though, I wouldn't be able to, like, even look at him after
That's
some
exactly
of these interviews.
Right.
My blood would be boiling. So, for those who don't know, Liquid recently made a handful of roster moves where they officially kicked Adren off the roster again. They replaced Adren with, well, Pimp. They signed Pimp to replace Adren. Now, Pimp cannot play for the team, though, because he played for SK, who played in a qualifier for the tournament. So Pimp will join the roster after the major. So in the meantime, they asked Simple, who left the team not even like a month ago. He left the team for personal reasons that he missed being home.
He didn't feel like he was integrated well enough. He's from Russia. He came over from Russia as an 18-year-old to play.
Not Russia. Ukraine.
Ukraine. Sorry. CIS. Yes, CIS.
They all look the same.
I'll get flack for that one. That's
they
fair.
All look the same. It's okay. So Simple left for personal reasons, saying it just didn't work out here in the States. He missed being home. So now they asked Simple to come play for them again because Simple is still technically under contract with them. So I'm assuming that's why that transition was pretty easy as far as...
Well, it was the same deal with Adrin, yeah.
Right. So then they ended up trading, like how we said earlier, with CLG, they ended up trading Kusta, who is a underperforming member of the team, for JDM, who's an overperforming member of CLG. So they got highway robbery there. And you think, there's no way in their right mind that CLG would just do this straight trade. My theory is JDM went to CLG and was like, look, you can either get somebody for me, or we're about to have a bad relationship. And that's what happened. But here's this. So Hiko did an interview about all the roster moves and everything here. And here are some quotes. Hiko said, JDM actually reached out to me. He said to me that his team wasn't really going anywhere. He was tired of putting in the effort and not really having results, so he wanted to jump ship to join a winning team. So Hiko goes on saying that essentially then they went to CLG and they made it happen.
This goes,
awesome that we hear this, but could you imagine even from like a JDM standpoint of like, man, I'm still friends with those guys on CLG. Here you are saying that I basically said
they're garbage.
Those guys are terrible and I need a new team that's going to win because we're not going anywhere, which is odd because I felt like CLG was going up.
Yeah, we like, talked about this all the time.
Their
we felt like
stock
they were the
was rising.
They were the consistent NA team that always performed.
So now that dream's dead, and now Liquid is again the most favorited NA team to win anything, but with a Frankenstein roster of parts that are constantly going to be moved. Like, so now we're back into the same step with MLG, to where what if Liquid all of a sudden wins this whole thing? Okay?
Right. That, like they did with the Dren, yeah.
The same thing with MLG, where Dren was not supposed to be there, but because of, again, mix-ups, Adren had to play.
Played out of his mind up until they met LG.
And then they kept Adren after. It's just, it's a mess. It reminds me again of like when, like, you break up with your girlfriend because this other more attractive girl wants to date you. But then you end up dating this more attractive girl and she's really not that attractive after all. Like, she does some weird
like
things in the bedroom.
Like, she eats chips in bed.
Yeah. And now, like, your ex-girlfriend, though, started working out a little bit. Looking a little
like,
good. That's what's going to happen with Liquid. Saw, dude. That's going to happen to Liquid again. Because guess what? Simple is better than Pimp.
He is. But the problem is, Simple wants to snipe and Pimp doesn't.
And he's
that was the whole thing with Kusta. When they got Kusta originally, it upset Simple because Simple was like, I want to snipe. That's what this guy does. You're not. Why are you going to try and push me to a new spot?
It's going to be drama throughout the major. It's going to be drama after. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that in future episodes. Moving on, though, you have Virtus Pro. Virtus Pro, I believe, is the oldest, most tenured roster
yes.
put together.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, looking through it, they've been together since 2014. They're the oldest people in the sense of most of them are married. They have kids. They're like the dads of the scene, all right? But Virtus Pro has also been one of those teams that have just been struggling to do anything in between majors, right? Virtus Pro, they play really well in between or at majors. They play well enough to get legend status, but for whatever reason, in between, they just seem to not care as much. And I don't want to say they don't care because that seems harsh, but that's what it looks like.
I would say when you get relegated, much like you do in the EPL, there's leagues that you can get relegated to that you actually have to play back up and win a spot into the top leagues. When you get relegated and then you say, we're just not going to play anymore. We're just not going to play in that league. Like, that does signal a lot of they don't care until the big game is on the line, basically.
Which is exactly what VP did. They lost to Penta Sports to get relegated into the ESL-ESEA Pro League. And, you know, there's still a chance that they get to the Pro League through wild card. But nonetheless, yes, that's a terrible attitude to have. If you cared that much, why didn't you just win the first time around when it mattered? Right? Like, that's...
Yeah, that's my deal.
Again, I think that, though, looking at the group here, because looking at the group, you have Team Liquid, Virtus Pro, Mouse Sports, and Envious. Envious is a team that's been struggling lately, all right? They were really good in 2015, winning majors, okay?
They won the last major of 2015.
Yes.
Yeah, in December.
But remember back at before MLG, people were like, this is going to be their swan song, right? And then even after MLG, people are like, Happy will leave the team. You can look at Happy's face.
It did not look happy.
It did not look happy, ironic enough. He did not sound like his name. But it looked like the perfect storm was forming. And they really didn't do a whole lot. The team did not blow up. They seemed to get along in the sense of what teammates have to get along with. And, you know,
I don't know. So you look at that roster and I'm with you. It looked like a very tumultuous relationship was going on with the players. I mean, players were flat out saying like it wasn't enjoyable to play on that team. They replaced Kiyoshima with Devil and then brought Maniac on to coach.
And then who's now left the team.
Well, I was to say something that kind of reinforced that idea to me was that Maniac didn't even stay on to coach. I mean, they need somebody to kind of steer the ship. And Maniac's like, I'd rather go try to play again. Then deal with this.
To be fair, though, also, when Kiyoshima left, he was the one who said that things weren't right. So, right. Of course, that might be a little vindictive just attitude towards the team that when you're the one leaving slash most likely being told to leave, you're probably not going to like the team very much anyways to say nice things about them. So much of that was just smoke and mirrors?
And just to kind of get off the storylines a little bit, it's also interesting that this team is like one of the only top teams that has such... Their map pool is very shallow. They've only got two maps that they win more than 50% of the time. Granted, one of them, Cobble, is they win 70% of their games on the Cobble. It makes me kind of wonder if their major win back at the end of 2015... was more a situation of like them lucking out and getting the maps that they needed to win, not necessarily that they had the skill to overcome some of the other teams with deeper map pools. I wonder if that kind of played into it a little bit.
And they're playing tomorrow for their chance to play in the finals on Friday to win their group in TBS. So that's someone to keep an eye on. Actually, Virtus Pro and Envious are both playing in this week's E-League wrap up for their group. So that's one thing that people should keep an eye on is how both of them are playing in LAN. Because that's one thing that Virtus Pro, I think that's what hurts Virtus Pro in between these big tournaments, is they don't play nearly as well on online competition compared to LAN. But looking here then, I have, for the sake of prediction goes, what do I have? I want to say Mouse Sports because I'm a Mouse Sports fanboy. I don't think Nico is going to be able to carry them through this major, though. I think Envious is going to win because I think Virtus Pro is finally going to get knocked out of legend status.
Right.
Because I think Team Liquid is going to be good enough. Simple will carry them to the playoffs. And Envious is going to be good enough. They've been playing well enough from what I've seen compared to Virtus Pro. Like, Virtus Pro even struggled today against Gambit Gaming. So, give me Team Liquid and Envious coming out of Group C.
I actually had Team Liquid as well. I think JDM opping, because he has actually been primary opping, is going to be really good for them consistency-wise, which is something Simple could never really do, even though he had better skill. But I actually also took Mouse Sports, who we did not talk about much in the group, to get out of there.
I think
Mouse Sports is
going to
take over... No, I actually think Liquid is going to help them out a lot. I just think Mouse Sports has to get out versus like VP, they always do pretty well at the LANs, but I think they're kind of over it. I think Nico's going to be a lot more motivated to get through that group than VP.
Interesting. Only time will tell, really. Just like time is telling us, it is time to go to break. When we return, we are going to break down Group D also known as the Group of Death for the ESL 1 Cologne CSGO Major. This is the Center Ring on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. 8:34 here on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. This is the Center Ring. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Give us your questions here, because coming up next segment, the final segment of the show, we are taking Twitter.
Ouch. We're live, man. It's Twitter.
Made an hour 34 minutes.
Twitter questions.
Twitter questions. We are going to take your Twitter questions next segment. But for now, we are going to talk about Group D, which I feel is going to be the group of death, right? Every tournament that has groups, everybody always has to label one the group of death nowadays. And this is the one. Because look at these teams. They are absolutely ridiculous the way it is stacked. You have SK Gaming.
Sort of SK?
That's weird.
Halfway
to see
SK?
There. You know, SK Gaming, man, that the organization really deserved to be here. They just worked so hard. Stand up, guys. No, SK Gaming, currently known for two more days as Luminosity.
Yeah. Oh, they got one day left.
Yeah, they got one day. They are officially turning into SK Gaming July 1st out of a contract signing debacle that we'll get into. You also have Fnatic, which arguably world number one when everyone's healthy. You have FaZe and G2 Esports, who all of a sudden, I don't know if it's inflated stats or not, but looking at this group, depending on which website you're going off of for your world rankings, this group has three teams that are arguably top six, top five teams in the world between SK Gaming, Fnatic, and now G2.
Can I get back on the Titan hype train? Remember, I was on, when they brought in Scream, I got on the hype train for Titan really hard, and you criticized me for it. I said they were going to finish top four.
You did.
At the major they were about to play in with the same roster, and they went out in groups, I think. And then eventually changed organization. I think it's Cluj.
That you were like, oh,
Titan,
top four.
Top four,
hands
easily.
Down. Why are we even doing the show?
But they have apparently figured out how to play Counter-Strike again. Scream is going unbelievably ham on people. Shox has gotten back to form. And they just won ECS.
What is Scream's headshot rate? Do you have that in front of you?
It was 68.7%,
I think. 69% if we're rounding up. So almost 70% of his shots that come out of his kills
yeah.
I should say, are from headshots. That's insane. Like, when the average, I think, is floating around 49%.
I think it's like 48 or something.
Yeah, I think
it
floats around 49% average, and he's pushing 70. That is insane.
There's a whole meme and everything.
But you know what, though? No one has ever said that. No one said that they had bad players. Everyone just always said they were a bad team.
Yeah.
Like, if that's possible, right? That makes sense.
I mean, you can be less than the sum of your parts.
You can have good players, but be a bad team.
Yeah.
And that's what G2 has been for the longest time, where they just couldn't put the pieces together. And everybody knew that these players from Titan, who had a lot of hope, could do it. And after G2 ended up buying them out, nothing really ever changed. It was always like, well, it's just Titan with a different logo. Same disappointment. And now finally, they won the ECS season one.
Yeah,
they ended up beating Luminosity in the finals.
In a best of three.
So they ended up getting there. But in order to even get to the finals, they had to beat Fnatic. So there was no easy road for G2. Like, if you had to test your strengths, G2 did it. Like, there was no just softball to them.
Right.
So I would say that, I don't know if, because I think Gosu Gamer now, they have them at second place based off of their point system. Second ranked in the world, G2.
I feel like that's a bit inflated. That's a bit high due to recent performances.
Yeah, I don't know about that. It seems a bit inflated. Maybe ranked two in the world off of hype, for sure.
Yeah.
But as far as saying no, they are solid, and it's way better than Fnatic.
Such an easy team to get hyped up because the kills and stuff that they get are very like highlight reel kind of
and again,
exciting plays.
Right, yeah. I mean, between Shox in-game leading and Scream, they do have a very fancy looking highlight reel. But again, they beat Fnatic and Luminosity in the tournament that's leading up to a major. This is where I brought it up in Group A. For whatever reason, I feel top tier teams don't play nearly as well in tournaments leading up to majors. Like, that's where you typically see. Look, historically, you'll typically see these top teams finishing in really unfamiliar spots in these tournaments or losing to teams that they probably shouldn't be losing to going into tournaments.
Do you think it's a case of them like looking beyond the little tournaments that they're in? Like,
I think it's
worrying about the major a little bit.
I don't know if worrying about the major is the right, if the those are the words I would use. More so, they're trying new strats for the major. And I know Fallen has spoken up on this, saying he does not believe in hiding
strats.
Yeah, that was a recent
interview.
He said there's no reason I would ever wait to do a strat for the major. Like, Na'Vi waited to show their triple stack.
Which was effective. Which,
awesome.
Yeah.
But they wait, like, teams will wait to show their new strats and new formats for majors because that's the big money, right? You're not gonna show your good stuff, you know, on the first date. You wanna wait.
At least a third.
Wait till you stand a chance getting her back at your place. Don't ever show the good stuff first. And that's what teams do for tournaments. I'm pumping the brakes on the G2 hype train. I'm
back on it.
Yeah, you're.
I'm back on it.
You're ridiculous.
I'm a bandwagoner.
Yeah, that's definition of one right there. They beat two teams and look good for a few tournaments, and all of a sudden,
plus they have an awesome logo.
That they do. That I'm not arguing that. But look at G2 though. They did lose in E-League 2 weeks ago to NIP. So
I don't see it. I don't see conflict in interest. I have NIP coming out of groups too.
I think so. Okay, well then let's talk about that then, coming out of this group, because I feel like whoever comes out of this group, one of those teams are going to win this major.
All right, I have to preface this with, if I could somehow finagle three teams out of this group and like leave Gambit from Group A, I would do it in a heartbeat. I feel like that would make this tournament so much better to have three Group D teams come out. However,
I agree. I think it's almost unfair that the way the... But then again, I say it's almost unfair. G2 should have just showed up in MLG, right?
The first Group D matchup. Rematch from ECS Finals. SK Gaming versus G2. And because of that particular matchup, I have G2 and Fnatic coming out of groups. I think SK is going to get eliminated in groups by G2.
I think that's actually what I had too. I had Fnatic and G2 coming out. I think this is going to be interesting to see because this is the first time Luminosity will be playing under their SK banner. And I think it's going to be in their heads. I think because that was such an ugly thing, and we got to go to break here in a couple minutes, and I want to touch on this. It was such, I feel, an ugly way to go. So I think that's going to affect them. I think it will. I think it will mentally affect them, the whole roster contract fiasco that was Luminosity and SK, to the point where G2 and Fnatic can take care of them.
Yep, I'm with you
100%. G2 beat them last time, so you know it's possible.
Fnatic's got Olafmeister back.
Yep, who has been playing really well since getting Olafmeister back. Let's see here. Where are my notes for Olafmeister here? I have all these notes here because I'm such a radio professional. It's insane. Anyways, I don't care that much. Do you have him here? Yes. So June 13th, Olafmeister announces his return to the team because he did have that wrist injury there.
Injured.
Right. So without Olafmeister, the team didn't place higher than third in any tournament, which doesn't sound that bad, but when you're Fnatic, you're used to placing higher than third. All right. In the month of May, which is what was going to be without Olafmeister, okay, they did not play with Olaf since really MLG major at the end of March. Month of May, they were 7-5. Okay. 58% win ratio. Not too bad. The month of June with Olafmeister, 9-2.
Yeah.
So there's a clear cut difference.
Olaf and Krims together are something special to watch.
Olaf makes the difference there in the sense of he is really what makes Fnatic turn, even though I don't know. I think Fnatic and G2, you are correct. I guess it's about time to go to break. That way we have more time for Twitter questions and everything. So next one, I do want to touch on the SK. Maybe we can touch on that on E News for next segment.
Yeah, we'll do that in E News.
E News, get it? Because the Hardline does it for entertainment, but we're an esports show. So E News, do you get it, Fahey?
Oh, yeah, we get it. It's
that's next
pretty
level.
Crystal clear.
That's
yeah.
Next level stuff. I mean, come on. You can't make that up. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to touch on some E News, some stories around the scene, and then we will also take your Twitter questions on our very last segment for the Center Ring here on Sports Radio, 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. 8:53 here on The Little Ticket. My name is Tim Kay. The man to the left of me is Brandon. We are The Center Ring, TCR for short. You can follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring as we cover all esports all the time. As I get original with our tagline there, you see what I did? Same as station.
You're all about originality on the show.
It's how I do. But we are ending this thing here tonight. This is our last segment of the show, so send us your Twitter questions at The Center Ring on Twitter. Follow the show for all updates. We do try to do a weekly show here that we post on our website, tcr.gg. So if you like what you hear, let us know and you know, stuff like that. Follow the show. But we do want to get into some e-news here, all right? E-news is basically our weekly segment, how we end every show, that kind of covers the little things that just don't warrant enough for a full segment, though some of the things in this week's probably do, but we just ran out of time. One thing that I was hinting at in the last segment was this whole SK Luminosity signing. So where this all began, and I'll make it short, the short end is Luminosity, which is the top Brazilian team, top team in the world right now, is no longer going to be Luminosity. They are signing with SK. And it was a whole fiasco where they signed with SK before the MLG Major when they were still under contract with Luminosity. And it was kind of all done under the table.
Well, so they signed with SK. And then not long after winning the Major and having such a good time playing for Luminosity, decided to sign letters of intent to extend their contracts with LG. Even though they already had signed contracts saying they were going to be playing with SK Gaming starting on July 1st. Obviously, that stirred up a whole mess of stuff. Contract disputes, I guess, have never been too much in the forefront of esports as far as people actually taking them seriously. But now that you have millions and millions of dollars behind people, they're going to be hiring lawyers and you're going to be held to the contracts you sign.
So it was an ugly situation in the sense of after Luminosity won the the MLG Major, they basically tried getting out of it. They went to Luminosity and was like, man, look, we are really sorry about this, guys. We did not mean to just leave. We didn't mean to sign. We feel bad. And SK Gaming was like, nah, bro, we don't care. You signed
a contract.
That's the contract. We're going to get you to play for us. So they released statements, okay? And I'm going to read you some of the statements from SK and Luminosity and tell me if there's not underlining
content.
Tones. Yeah. Yes, there seems to be a bit here. So SK says in the press release, Alexander Müller, the SK Gaming manager director, gave the statement saying that this was a messy situation and neither party was completely right or wrong here. Neither party was complete, we didn't do that. We didn't just swipe LG out, you know, whatever. Because LG, what could have LG done wrong? You signed their players when they were on letters of intent and told them you could get them out of it, which you did. So congratulations, but don't try to make it seem like you didn't dirty it up. So he says, we are very happy to have found a satisfactory solution for each party involved in the recent contract dispute. Mueller said in the statement, Luminosity excels at scouting the greatest talent, and we are surely going to see them on the big stage again soon. And then they scruffled LG's hair, gave him a pat on the back, and said, you go outside, boy. Like, come on, man. Come on. They excel at scouting. We excel at buying better teams.
You're calling SK the Yankees.
That seems like such a slap in the face. Yeah. And then LG went on to make their own statement saying, I'm glad that we could all come together and work out a solution. It might not have started off the best, but SK and Alex made it right in the end. I'm optimistic that SK will be a good home for the players and their next chapter in CSGO.
I feel like money exchanged hands.
It might have. We'll never know. Now, LG's manager, Steve Maida, that's how I'm going to say it, he did come out in his statement and basically did say, like, it came down to the fact that the LG roster was his friends, they were his family, and he felt like what would be best for them is just to let them go. Kind of, it's going to get so ugly and so messy between the court system that I'm just going to let this one go. He probably saw that, you know what, it sucks, but they did sign a contract, and there's no way he's getting them back. Like, it was pretty clear. Like, there were some people that were like, oh, no, there's no way that they're going to play with SK. No, it was pretty clear from the get-go that they were going to play with SK the whole time. And then for the second thing with E! News, you have something on the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. NIP, current NIP manager and ex-player, Heaton, is being inducted, or being the first inductee into the Esports Hall of Fame. Yes, there's already a Hall of Fame. It's being run by ESL, who will be putting on the major that we've just spent the last 2 hours talking about. He will be the first inductee of any esport, actually, any different game that's been playing.
Yeah,
so.
CSGO is the first one, and they wanted to do it in kind of their home area in Europe and everything there.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Like, we were discussing on who could be. They did hint that it was going to be from CSGO.
I don't know. When I think esports, I really think, especially Hall of Fame-wise, I don't know how you could not pick Fatality at the very beginning. He's the first person that ever came to mind.
And maybe that's just our American Homer, though, in us, right?
Well, but that was back when esports weren't quite as popular.
And I agree. Growing up, the one person that you remember hearing first of making money playing video games? What?
Yeah, well,
this is
an insane
concept.
First,
it was Fatality.
The first guy to have, like, his own product deals. Like, he had his own mice and keyboard and graphics cards.
I thought
stuff
he was
like
going
that.
To be in just for what he meant to the scene to get it started.
Right.
Heaton, now, he was huge in 1.6. Obviously, he's the running manager of NIP.
He actually got Get Right into playing, who became one of the top players in the
world. So, yeah, he's had his fair share. And he's also known for, tax evasion. So,
yeah, apparently, just like contracts, when you make money in esports, you're kind of expected to pay taxes on that as well.
And he didn't know it.
He's like, whatever, bro. Taxes.
Whatever. I didn't know this mess. So that's it. That's it for E! News. Let's move on to Twitter questions, though, because we're running out of time, and I want to get to you, the P1, on what your thoughts on esports are. So you, throughout the show, you've been taking down some, so we have some times here. Let's see how many we can get through.
The first one I want to go over is from P1 at Whipboy on Twitter. He wanted to know how broadcasters can better portray the skill involved with the game for someone who's never watched it. And that's a very difficult issue. I think the biggest thing for me, personally, just as a spectator, is the crowd noise and stuff like that. When you can hear other people cheering, it's something that big that has happened. And I think that's probably the biggest indicator that you can kind of start, figuring out.
Right. Or, the shoutcasters, Anders freaking out. That's how you'll know something's
right.
big. To me, it's very difficult to try to tell someone who has never played the game before how skillful these players are. Because, let's face it, people who are not familiar with esports, they don't see any skill in this whatsoever. Like, they think that they could just go and do it. Like, I honestly feel like some of them think that. That, like, whatever, I mean, how hard is it to point and click your mouse? But really, the only way you can truly appreciate this is just get on the game for, 5 minutes, and you can see how difficult, the skill gap is.
Yeah, I've always kind of related it to hockey too. I mean, when people first watch hockey, it just seems like chaos. Like nobody really knows what's going on. But the more you watch it, and if you ever get the chance to actually play it, you can kind of get a better understanding of what's going on.
Yeah, so as far as how the broadcast can go to change that, I honestly don't feel like there's a way other than, like you said, the crowd or the casters basically saying, that was really good.
Yeah, I mean, E-League, that's on TBS, has done a good job of kind of having the casters explain things as they happen, too. So,
correct. What else we got?
At CBreezy91. I love this question. It says, do you think players using screen names instead of birth names makes it harder to take seriously or a barrier to non-gamers? And I like this one because we've had debates about this. I would much prefer to see people's actual names used. But esports, like the core esports audience, hates it. Because nobody, when you're playing games, nobody goes by their name.
So I'm indifference. Of this, right? I have my own opinion, and then I have my opinion on what I think really matters. My opinion is I like the setup where it shows their last name, and then next to it they'll do like the little line, and then they'll have their gamer tag, right?
Because
face it, you know, like I only know these guys by their gamer tag. There's a very few where you can say their full name, and I will know it, right? So I'm in the boat where I just think it looks fancier. Or at least just to have everyone having uniformed tags. I don't like it to where, like, sometimes you'll see JW will throw, like, a smiley face next to his name. And
yeah, I don't like the inconsistent
tags. I don't like the sponsors and names. You'll see people, like, it will, I don't, JW doesn't do it, but, like, JW HyperX.
Right.
Or insert gambling website. They'll do that. I hate that look. I don't think it looks clean whatsoever. It looks very messy, even.
Maybe that's why I want them to use their actual names, because it's consistent.
Now, like you said, as far as the esports community goes, they don't care one way or the other. As non-gamers, do they really care? I don't think so. But as far as what I feel like, I wish they would use their last names just for the sake of when I have to show my friends the games and I get stuck showing them someone with like a ridiculous gamer tag.
Yeah. It definitely does. To answer the second part of the question, it definitely acts as a barrier, and especially when you've got these names that have numbers and stuff in it, and then you're trying to figure out how you manage to pronounce it.
Well, look at Cutler's name is spelt backwards, so it really looks like real loose or whatever,
yeah,
but nobody says that. They just call him
and
Cutler.
And then Zipnik, there's a number 9 right in the middle. I mean, his name is ZPYX or XPY or XP9X, I think, and it's pronounced Zipnix. It makes
right to an outsider.
No,
they're like, how do you say that?
Yeah,
and I'm like, it's pretty obvious, bro. It's pretty obvious. It's Zipnik. Come on, come on. I have here one from one Cray 1310. He says, "What new or upcoming games do you see as the most popular or potential to be competitive?
Potential." I mean, the default answer is Overwatch, because
that's
the company
already insane.
Activision Blizzard is going to throw money behind it. They're already throwing money up. I mean, they were running tournaments before the game even released.
Right. So hands down, Overwatch is going to be the next big thing, partially because Blizzard and Activision also has the money to pump it out.
If I were to dare say, the competitive aspect of that game still has a lot of kinks that need to be worked out. It is not, I don't
right, but
find
that hasn't
it
hurt the first
perfect,
2 months
yeah.
of it
yeah,
being
it
popular
it's
in tournaments.
Just so big, yeah.
People don't care. There was, in fact, competitive was just added, what, last night? A competitive mode to the game, and yet you've still had 2 months of pro tournaments between closed alpha and everything. So that's clearly not hurting its pro scene at all. No one cares about that. And let's see here. I have time for probably one more. Do you have anything? Did you pick out any? All right. So I have this one here because I'm going to be a homer here and let my brother's question. He says here at Ant Juski, do CS teams typically have styles of play, spread offense, trap defense, etc., or is it more just general strats? How do maps affect this? To answer your question, my brother from my mother, yes, they definitely have set plays. And now every team's different, right? Like, what team was it? Na'Vi? Is that the one where They lay their call outs in a grid.
Oh, for the map call outs. Yes. Yeah, and they actually call out maps based on a like you would a chessboard.
Right. Where they, yeah. they, you know, every map has their own general call outs, but I want to say it was Na'vi.
But yeah,
I could be completely wrong on that.
No, it's Na'vi, but it's so they can have like a very specific yes. portion
like,
of the map.
They are in
call out
2B, and I know exactly where on, you know, Picnic you're talking about. Because,
right.
like, yeah, I could say they're on A site by Firebox.
That could be
but
any, yeah.
I mean, the general area of Firebox is where I'm going to look. Well, they say 2C, and I know exactly where that's at. So
and,
every team does it a little bit
and
more.
And you'll see teams that do a lot more run and gun. Like Liquid, when they were really successful, and Columbus was doing a lot of running where they didn't really set up a strat. They kind of just rushed out and tried to disrupt whatever was going on. And then you'll see teams, and it's my favorite play style, where they'll sit there and wait. And like, because you have a round timer every round.
You
got to
play for picks, man.
You have
play
a round timer picks. Every round that's counting down, and you have to execute like with 40 seconds left. And I find that to be really exciting type of a style of play.
My personal, that's my, when I play for picks. All right. I'm constantly an underdog. I'm not the greatest. So you got to take your shots where you can. Never rush in. So thank you so much, P1s, for those Twitter questions. We are running out of time here on the center ring. If you like the show, if you like what you heard, all right, I'm not going to tell you to blow up Kat's inbox or anything saying esports should be a regular thing on the ticket, but I'm not going to tell you to not blow up his inbox telling him that, all right? You can blow up our Twitter at the center ring, our personal Twitters. Mine is at Pirate Mushroom.
Mine is at Brand. Any new, ININEW.
So there you go. Hit us up on those if you like the show. We always post up new episodes and things on our website, tcr.gg. So thank you again for listening. Thank you to Mr. Fahey for board hopping. He's not even listening.
Thank you for your courage, boys.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you to Kat. I don't want to seem too much like a knee patter here, but it was him that let us do the show. So
yeah,
definitely doesn't have to do that.
Yeah.
But thank you, more importantly, to you, the P1s, for allowing us into your homes, into your hearts, into your ear holes on this Wednesday night. It definitely was a dream come true for me personally to host a show on the ticket. Listening for over 10 years, I always thought it would be crazy for me to do this. And here I am talking about what I love to talk about is esports, following it, knowing it. To answer some of your questions here in general, people are asking Dota 2. Yes, we do talk about Dota 2. Our show is not only just CSGO, predominantly CSGO, but we do talk about Dota 2. We will definitely talk about the TI, maybe do this for the TI. We'll see if there's the allotted time. But until next time, folks, thank you so much for listening to The Center Ring. Again, our Twitter is at thecenterring.com. Until then, take it easy, and we will see you next time.